We've been studying about a particular place, a city that the Bible says is going to be rebuilt, and it's going to be the center of all the finances of the world, the world government, and it's going to be the center of a world religion. And does anybody know that city in Revelation 17 and 18? Eddie Brent?
Babylon.
All right, that's the city of Babylon in Iraq. And we are looking and watching for these prophecies to be fulfilled literally, and they will be fulfilled. You can mark it down, and we see the preparation for it right now with us being involved in Iraq, and we've been talking about that. But if you go up to Revelation chapter 17, that's where we left off, and I want to look at that first of all, Revelation 17. And remember, we looked at the beast, the beast. And the beast is going to be the ruler of the eighth empire that persecutes Israel. We talked about the previous seven empires. The first one in the Bible is Egypt under Pharaoh. And then Assyria, it's talked about, that attacked and destroyed the northern kingdom, the ten tribes of God's people, Israel. All these empires persecute Israel, God's people, because Satan is behind them. So there's Egypt, Assyria, and then four in Daniel, Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, Persia, which is modern-day Iran, Greece, which devolved into modern-day Syria, and Rome, which is modern-day European Union. And all those are four in Daniel. We have two before Daniel, so we have six. And then in A.D. 70, Israel was dispersed from their land. Their temple was burned down by Rome. And they were in captivity until A.D. 1948, and then they became a nation again. Between A.D. 70 and 1948, there was a seventh beast empire that was raised up. It was not mentioned in Daniel, but John mentioned it, and it would appear for a time. And that empire actually appeared in the 1940s and killed 6 million Jews. What empire was that, Kim Lake?
Germany.
Yeah, Nazi Germany under Adolf Hitler. And that is the seventh beast empire. The Bible says there's going to be one more. It tells us what it is. It will be the eighth beast empire, which will be the revival of the Roman Empire or the present day European Union. That is the eighth beast empire. Now, the European Union is moving into the Middle East because the Roman Empire didn't only control Europe, it controlled all around the Mediterranean Sea into the Middle East. And the revived Roman Empire is going to do the same. And in 1995, there started a process called the Barcelona Process that began to unite Europe with the Middle East, Egypt, Israel, Syria, those countries, and bring peace. Pax Romana, the peace of the Middle East. And that's all coming about as we speak and is developing and moving forward. And the ruler of this revived Roman Empire, the European Union, the ruler of this will be one of the previous what? One of the previous what will rule over this eighth beast empire? Angel?
Rulers of what? Prior to these nations.
Okay, one of the previous seven empires will rule the eighth beast empire. All right, and that's in Revelation 17 that we've been studying. In other words, to rule that, he's got to come back from the dead. Well, you say, how can somebody come back from the dead, you know, one of these rulers? And the world is all going to recognize him by visual. They'll recognize him, and they'll actually worship him and give him glory. And this will be the ruler. Now, apparently when he comes back from the dead, at first, during the first 3.5 years of the 7 years, you're not going to know who he is, that he lived before. But somehow he'll be disguised. But when you come into the middle of the 70th week, when his statue is put up by the Antichrist in the temple, then he's going to take off the disguise. Everybody's going to recognize him, and they're going to like, oh! Some people are going to be shocked and run and hide from him. The Jews especially will shock and run and hide from him. So this man, who is he? Kim again.
Hitler.
Adolf Hitler. Now the question is, how is Hitler going to come back when he's dead? He died. By the way, Hitler, I believe, was, if I have his age right, was 56 56 years of age when he died. And he took cyanide, a little capsule, and he went like that. Most of the Nazis took cyanide, but Hitler wanted to make sure he was dead. So he took cyanide, and he took a gun and shot himself after he took the cyanide. So he took the cyanide, then shot himself with a gun in the head. And so he was killed. By the way, the Bible speaks of him having a head wound, a fatal head wound. So that fits Hitler as well. Fatal head wound with a sword or a military weapon, which in that case, you know, would be the gun. And he was killed and dead. And then they put gasoline on him. He said, take gasoline and burn my body. I don't want the Russians. The Russians were coming. I don't want them finding my body, and I don't want them doing things with my body like they did to Mussolini. So he had it all planned to get rid of his body. So how is he going to come back from the dead? What happened in all of this? Marion?
He's going to be cloned.
Now, I believe he's... we don't have proof that he was cloned, but the Russians got fragments of his skull. They did find it. I've seen pictures of his skull. They did find fragments of his body parts. The bunker where he stayed is now a big parking lot over there. And they took pictures of that bunker, what it was like and everything. They still have parts of it under the ground. But the Russians got his body parts, and they took it away. So that is something that could be cloned, all right? And when somebody is cloned... it's illegal to clone, but when somebody's cloned, what's going to happen? We don't really know. But apparently, if this happens to Hitler, and if this is fulfilled the way I'm thinking it, then his soul would come out of hell to live in that body that's been cloned. All right? And that's a whole process. And that could have already been done, and he could already be alive. All right? But at any rate, that's what we study about here and what we've been talking about here in Revelation chapter 17. All right? So let's go back there, and let's look at that, because that final beast empire is going to have 10 horns. It says in verse 12, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received," that's Revelation 17:12, "which have received no kingdom as yet," that's when John lived, "but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." So when the beast rules over the revived Roman Empire, the European Union, that goes into the Middle East and takes over the Middle East, when the beast rules that, there'll be 10 kings ruling with him. Now, by the way, the present European Union has, I believe it is, 27 nations that make up the European Union, and it's growing. It should grow to more nations. However, the original nations that started the European Union are called the Brussels Treaty Power, and it said it only 10. There are only 10 of them, and they control the basic agenda of the European Union. So very possibly, I'm not saying that is, but I think it very well could be the fulfillment of this prophecy that the European Union with the 10 Brussels Treaty powers behind it is the fulfillment of that. And that no matter how big the European Union grows, it could grow to 40 nations. I don't care. It will have those 10 nations that will have a controlling power over it. I believe that's the way that's going to be fulfilled. We're watching. We're watching. Now, this man called the beast in Revelation 17, you notice he's not called the Antichrist? He's not called the Antichrist. Most people call him the Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist. Hitler's not the Antichrist. The political leader and the head of the revived Roman Empire is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He is a beast out of the Sea of Nations around the Mediterranean. Most every Bible scholar, everybody calls it the Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist. There's a book, Who is the Antichrist, by John Benson. Some people ought to read it. He was a professor of mine in college. And he believes very clearly the Antichrist is not the beast. The Antichrist is the false prophet that will have people worship him. And he no doubt will be Jewish. Will he be the head of the Roman Catholic Church, an evil pope? I don't know. But he will be Jewish. He'll be the head of this one world religion. And he'll lend his support to worship the leader, the political leader. And he'll even have a statue of him put up. He'll encourage people to make statues of him. Demons will inhabit those statues. And that will be during the what's called the tribulation. It'll be a terrible time that's coming. By the way, the Bible says this beast will change seasons and holidays, times. He says that in Daniel about him. Have you noticed that's beginning to happen in this country? You know, people don't want you to say Merry Christmas. Public schools don't want to say Merry Christmas. I ran into a guy, Eric and I were witnessing to a guy last night in the mall. Turned out he was saved, but he told us Merry Christmas. He said, yeah, people don't want to say that. They want to say happy holidays. They want to celebrate the winter solstice. That's when the pagans celebrated their holidays. They want to celebrate. They want to take all the Christian influence out of our country. And Europe is farther along than we are. The darkness is deepening there. You can expect more of that to go on. No matter who fights it, it's going to get worse. And so that's what's going on, and that's going to lead right into the kingdom of the beast. He's going to change all these holidays so there's nothing of Jesus whatsoever in it, any of it. He wants it all gone. All right, so this is the beast, and then the Antichrist is his lieutenant, who is a prophet, a false Christ, a false king. He'll be a king as well over the Jews, king of the Jews. He'll be another that will come in Christ's name. There are many scriptures that speak of the Antichrist, but the Antichrist is the right-hand lieutenant of the beast. All right, he's the second beast, the beast out of the earth, the beast out of Israel. And he'll be the religious leader. He'll do miracles, but call people to worship, just like Jesus called people to worship the Father. He'll call people to worship the father of the beast, Hitler. And Satan will be behind that. He's the spirit behind it, the unholy spirit. There's a trinity of evil. The beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And so you see this, and they will be working with this woman who's the whore, who is the one world United Nations government that has the money power that's centered in Babylon, Iraq, and that's going to be the center of everything. How is that going to happen, that things will move over to Babylon? You can only infer, speculate. I personally believe that some big things are going to happen to the United States. I believe New York City will be blown up. I believe the United Nations will be blown up. I believe Wall Street will be disabled and blown up. I believe that terrorism is going to get very much worse in this country. I believe that we're like Rome of the past, when the barbarians just kept invading and eating away at their power, and that the United States is going to fall as a world power. And Europe will get stronger for a time. And that's where things are going to center. The United Nations is going to get strong, and it's going to be built in Iraq. By the way, we started the United Nations. This country did. We built it in New York City, and we had the power to start Iraq, and we blessed Iraq and freed them up and given our lives and our blood to do that. Our men have done that, and they're benefiting from it. But like I said last week, they're persecuting Christians. Like I said last week, it's going to become eventually the center of evil. And so it's going to be the system of this one world government over in Babylon, Iraq. Okay. Any question, by the way, before we move on? Cynthia.
My question has to do with the beast versus the Antichrist.
Yes.
Will the Antichrist be over the beast then? Like, will he be the ruler over all of these? This beast that we think is Hitler, will he be like the ruler over all of
them? The Antichrist?
Yeah.
No.
Or will the beast be, or is there no correlation?
I and the Father are one. They are like,
because you said that
they're right together.
People, you said they're going to be two separate people. So
is Jesus and the Father, two persons.
They're
equal.
Kind of ruling to them, like side by side.
Yep, they're equal. They have different functions, but they're equal in power in one sense, okay? But the Antichrist will cause people to worship the beast, and the beast will be in the West, mainly the Antichrist will be in Israel, and he may have power over Babylon and over this world government and world religion. But in a sense, the world religion will be over both of them. They do have power because it's like, you know, like leaders today, before they do something, they will wait for a United Nations resolution. So in a sense, the UN will have the final power of the whole world because there's one world government. But the UN basically will get its laws carried out by the military power of the beast and the Antichrist, those two guys together. But eventually, they're going to turn on the UN and they're going to blow it up, the beast and the Antichrist and the ten kings. They're going to blow it up. So Rome will rule everything for just a little time, for about 2 days or less, just very little time. Yes.
Well, we have the beast, the prophet, and the Antichrist.
Yeah, the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. But the false prophet and Antichrist are one and the same.
Well, then the beast is the beast the devil?
No, the beast would be Hitler.
Hitler's the beast.
Yes.
And the false prophet could be the Pope.
The false prophet could be the Pope. He certainly will be a religious leader. He will be, no doubt, Jewish. He will be like Christ. Christ was a prophet, a priest, and a king. And he speaks like a, what is he? He looks like a lamb. He speaks like a dragon. You know, he's going to be a false Christ, and the Jews will accept him as Messiah. So he's got to be Jewish. He's got to come in his own name. Jesus said, I come in my name, you don't accept me. Another will come, you'll accept him. When the Jews accept him, then he's going to tell them to worship as their God, the beast. They won't know at first who the beast is, but he'll lend his support to the beast.
Is there any Jewish person today that stands out? I mean, if this is going to happen, you know, it's leading up
yes.
to this, then the Antichrist probably is living now.
Well, very possible.
And he's a Jewish person, but yet no one yet stands out.
Yeah, there's nobody I could tell you at this point would be the Jewish Antichrist. Nor would I try to identify the beast. Now, I could say the office of the beast may be held by a man by the name of Javier Solana, for instance, in, you know, he's the foreign high representative for the foreign policy of the European Union. That could be the office of the beast. I'm not going to speculate on that. I'm not sure. I'm just trying to give you the picture so when you see him, you'll say, you know, like when they have those wanted posters out, or somebody's missing, you just keep looking at that picture, and then when you see it, the person, that's him, you call 911. You know, I want you to, like, when it happens, I believe we'll know it. I don't believe we've entered into this last 7 years yet, you know. Like, you get all these websites, you know, all these people, they're all, and they think we've entered into the last 7 years. No, if you really look at Bible prophecy and you really know it, you're just more relaxed because you know. And even when we enter in, I'm not going to be doing this because, you know, God's forewarned us. So the best thing I could tell you is just keep looking at this Bible. Keep knowing what it is. Keep asking questions and getting the answers so that when it happens, you know. And I keep telling young people just in case I'm not here so they know, you know. But I tend to think it'll be sooner than later. And I tend to think the United States, we're in very limited time before greater judgments are going to hit us. And we need to be aware of that. You know, those kind of things. But that's really important. The things that we're learning here are important to recognize what's going on. Although I don't believe you'll know it's Hitler as far as the political leader. You won't know it's him at first. Not till the middle of the 7 years. And then he'll take off the masquerade. You know it's him. And things are going to really get dark then. Like, whoa, evil come right out, you know. Devil worship will also come out then. People be worshiping the devil right outwardly. Yes.
If we're going to take the mark of the beast, so that would be from Hitler.
Yeah, that's right. The mark of the beast is a computer chip, I believe. This is my application of it, would be a computer chip about the size of a little piece of rice or less under your forehead or in your hand. They're already doing this. Fabiana showed me a website that has this already being done in Brazil and other places. And they use that and put a smart information in it. So all of your medical information would be in there. All of your checking account information is in there. And if you want to buy something or go to the doctor, they just run that scanner over it. They can read it and take the money right out of your account. You won't even need money, paper money. It'll all be electronic. Kind of like a debit card today, but it's in your body. Yeah, Bob?
Update on that chip. According to Walmart, they're developing a system right now with a microchip that can be in every single item you buy at Walmart.
Wow.
They would be able to track your item all the way to your house.
Wow.
See what the consumer does with it, where it goes. And
wow.
I mean, they're trying to implement this now.
Wow. We.
Soon.
Yeah, right. Well, Bob, you work with Walmart. He works at Walmart.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So, yeah. Especially in Christmas season, right?
Right. So that's kind of interesting. It's probably part of the system that will be used.
Oh, hey, man. Boy, that's scary. Yeah.
Bob, a week or two ago, there was an article on the paper about that chip that they were doing with newborns. That would be a born abuse. Placed into the newborn.
Implanted right in a.
With the identification of their parents.
Yeah.
And what they had at that point.
And put it right in there. You know. I Angel, go ahead.
Is there about just being in the universe? And you have to be able to accept it. Say it's okay. They can't knock you out and just say, okay, didn't do it to you. You have to be in the room. That wouldn't count. You have to acknowledge it. Right?
Yeah. The actual mark of the beast will involve this thing. It's not just the chip put in your body. It is you acknowledging the beast as being sovereign. He is your sovereign. He is number one. The Romans used to have a bust of the picture of Caesar, and they would sprinkle incense on it, and they would say, Kyrios Kaiser. And all that meant was, in Latin, is Caesar is Lord. Kyrios Kaiser. Caesar is Lord. All right? And if you did that, you were all right. Now, if you wouldn't do that, and Christians, by the way, would not do that, they would get arrested and they would get persecuted. So here's what you can look for. Even in the United States, you can look for this. You can look for the president to get stronger and stronger in power and the Congress to be weaker. And what happened in Rome was the Senate of Rome used to have representation of the people. It was a republic, and they represented the people, and it was a republic like we have. But as Rome went on, the Caesars just took over power, and all the Senate was just a group of yes people that would go along with the Prez.
Right, so if you were saying that surgery or something, and they put that in,
yeah,
they wouldn't count them. You didn't accept that then. We had that. In your mind, say, no. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
it wouldn't happen. I wouldn't have, I don't know, they need replacement or something. I wake up and they didn't mind sleeping,
Yeah. You know, technology is great, isn't it? You know, you get all these great things like GPS systems, and my wife's got one. She's in Florida now helping her mom for Christmas, so I took her to the airport yesterday. And I was glad I get to use her GPS system now, because she's got that little GPS. So I said, can I use your GPS? She said, yeah. So I got it. And I was making some visits yesterday. I trying to find these people, and I couldn't find them. I ran by their house, so I just said, ah, phooey. And I went over in the parking lot of a store, and I turned that GPS on, put that little antenna up, and I punched in the address. I punched in go. And it comes up, a map comes up, right where I am. It says, then a woman starts talking, follow me, you know, follow my direction. I said, be quiet. But I go out of there, and follow the map, you know, and I turned the way it said, all right, in 0.2 miles, turn right. And follow the highlighted route. Now, there it is. And you see every street coming up that you're passing. It says the name of the street, everything. And then I turn to the right. Okay, go here to 118 and stop. It's on the right side right there. And stop. There's the house. I walked up, knocked on the door. The people invited me in. Come on in, Pastor. So good to see you. I just led the husband to the Lord led him to the Lord in the mall this week. And they have a house there, and the man is supposed to come to church tonight. He's working today. I think she's going to try to come to morning service with her son. They had me in for dinner and everything. They pulled the dinner out, and they had a house all remodeled. But I walked right in there. And, you know, that's nice to have all of that. The problem is when it's under the control of the beast. The beast that comes out of hell, when it's under his control and under the Antichrist, and you cannot use that unless you give them their due place. And that's the key. You can't use that system. So the system could already be in place, but you can't use it at that time. Now that time is only going to be a brief time. It'll be in the middle of the 7 years. And it will not even go to the end of the 3.5 years because the Lord's going to cut that short with his second coming. But the technology is going to be in place. Now you say, where do you draw the line? Well, I would not get the chip in my skin. I'm going to draw the line there. I've drawn it there. I'm not even going to get it. I'm just not going to get it. I'll use a debit card. I got a debit card. I'll use that. But I am not going any further than that. You're not putting it in my skin. Sorry. Sorry, I have to figure out how to make it without it. All right, Kim?
Pastor, I have a question.
Yeah.
If you don't accept that mark, though,
yeah.
If you don't accept that mark, you're not going to get food, you're not going to get anything, right?
Yeah, not unless it's on the black market. All right, you're not going to get it by the. That's why, you know, I keep telling you, government, don't put your faith in government, because eventually the governments are going to be taken over. That's going to be the whore, and that's going to be the one world government. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying, you know, you honor the government, you respect it, you pay taxes, you honor those that are in authority. Don't get me wrong, we do our part, but when the government turns against God, all right, that's now here it is. When the government turns against God and they go against the Bible, who are you going to obey, Jesus or the government? Well, then you got to make your choice. And at that point, you got to say, look, the three Hebrews did that. They didn't bow down to the image. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar said, you bow down. If you don't bow down, you're going in the fiery furnace. They said, and they were working in the government. They had jobs in the government. They were faithful, loyal subjects. But they would not put the government above God. And you got to be prepared to pay the price. That's all I'm saying. You got to be prepared to pay the price. And God will be with you. He was with them. He was with them in that fiery furnace. Now, can God provide you food? Yeah. He provided Elijah food. He could provide food. He could provide food. And some Christians will go into hiding during that time. I'm sure. Yes, Brother Eddie.
As God provided the children from Israel the manna that was born,
yes,
they were leaving from what they were involved in.
Yes.
The same way that he could provide for the child of God.
He did indeed. He provided the manna for 40 years, and they didn't need to grow it or anything. And he also made their shoes not to wear out, and their clothes not to wear out for all that period of time. And we have to have that confidence in God. And that's why I tell people, right now, exercise your faith in God. Get to practice walking by faith. Get to, you know, practice prayer and walking with God and doing what God wants you to do right now, so that you are spiritually strong and you're not weak during these times, because the devil is going to, as he sees the time is close, he's going to make one last stand to fight and take over the world and stop Jesus, you know. And he doesn't like Christians because we put him first, and he doesn't like Jews because he knows that the Jews are going to be the people that are going to eventually get saved, and the kingdom's going to come to Israel, and he doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want the kingdom of God to come to this earth. He wants to stay in control. He wants to stay. And he's got his man, and I believe his man is none other than Hitler. He's his man, and he's going to bring him back for the last showdown. And I think that's what we're looking at here in Revelation. As we look at that, it talks about that in Revelation 17, and it says that. That they will give their power. Look at verse 16. It says, "In the 10 horns which thou sawest," that's the 10 nations of the European Union. It says that these shall hate the whore. Yeah. These shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God hath put it into their hearts to fulfill his will. So in other words, eventually the European Union, the head of the European Union, will destroy the whore, and will destroy, along with the Antichrist, the whore, in order that he might be the one power. Again, who is the whore that he's going to destroy? Just so I know you understand that. Who is Hitler and the ten kings with him? Who is the whore he's going to destroy? Let's ask Brother Eddie.
Babylon.
That's Babylon. And Babylon will be the center of the one world money system, the one world religion, and the one world government. And he's going to destroy that at the end. It looks like with the... Well, we'll look at that. Go to chapter 18 now. And this talks about the same thing. It says in verse 1, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, Babylon is fallen, it's judged, and has that become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That sounds to me like some kind of demons will be caged up and imprisoned in Iraq. By the way, do you know there are four demons that are under the Euphrates River? Four demons are under the Euphrates River that have been caged up there by God and imprisoned there by God. And after Babylon is judged, some demons are going to be caged up. And it says in verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And what's this talking about? Well, this is talking about that if you go along with the world government that's coming, they're able to make you very rich. And they're able to make you very rich. By the way, how many of you benefited from that stimulus that George Bush sent? I got money from it. Now, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you get a bigger one this year. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. Democrat did a little more than a Republican. See, a little more. But you're going to get probably a little bit more. You say, where are they going to get that money? They're giving money. Do you know that the Congress, get this, the Congress voted not to bail out the auto industry. They said, don't bail out the auto industry. All right? Do you know that George Bush and Paulson said, we're going to do it anyway? Remember that $700 billion you gave us? We're not going to tell you where that money's going because we don't have to, and we're going to still bail out the auto industry. Even though the Congress, which represents the people, said don't do it. Now, you say, what will Barack Obama do? He'd probably do a little bit more than Bush did on that. But what I'm saying to you is that the government is going to keep on giving away money like it's going out of style. But you say, where are they getting that money? Don't you ever wonder where they're getting all that money? Where do they get it all? How can they do it? What do you think, Marion?
Well, they're just printing it and they're devaluing the dollar.
They're just printing it. They're devaluing the dollar. See, the dollar has nothing to back it. Nothing. There's nothing behind it. It's just paper. It's just paper. And they're printing it. And when they print it, you say, who prints it? The Fed. Who's the Fed? It's basically a consortium of private bankers. And they charge you and I interest for the money they print to us. So who pays that interest? You and your children and grandchildren through taxes. So every time you bail out GM workers some of these executives at GM make $500,000-$600,000 a year. I hear about this, and some of the workers make $75 an hour. Who here makes $75 an hour? You know, so I'm just telling you, man. Those unions, they make a lot of money. You know, and then they wanna retire. You know, and have you pay that and all that stuff. You don't make that at Walmart. I'll tell you that. But yet they. So the government is doing all of this, putting the American people in debt, when our country always in the past, as it's a free economy, free enterprise. If the business succeeds, it succeeds. If it fails, it fails. And you don't have the government take care of business. The businesses are supposed... Now, the government shouldn't put so many restrictions on them that they make them fail. That's another problem. They put so many restrictions on the businesses. They shouldn't do that. But the bottom line is that okay, it says that these kings have committed fornication with the government. At that time, the government isn't the U.S. government. It's going to be the U.N. And by committing fornication, it just means that they go against the Bible so that they can get richer. They don't care about breaking God's commandments so they can get richer and get more money. And so God doesn't like that because he's a jealous God. So God is not going to destroy the UN. Who's God going to let destroy the UN and destroy Babylon? He's going to let Hitler do it through his own jealousy because he's going to get jealous of it. And he's going to say, I want to be the big daddy here. I'll provide, not these guys, not these rich bankers. I'm sick of these rich bankers, he's going to say. And I'm going to do it. And so he'll blow them up with a nuclear bomb. You say, how do you know that? Well, that's in chapter 18 here. It describes it. We're not going to go through all of this because I just want to kind of get through this. But it talks about the judgment. You can read about it. But look at what it says in verse 18. How do the leaders of the world respond to this? It says in verse 9 of chapter 18, and the kings of the earth, it says, who have committed fornication, that means they broke the Bible to get rich, and lived deliciously with her. I mean, we're going to see great riches coming in the future here in the world. We're going to go through some famines. We're going to go through some depression time, big time. But when the world gets together after that, it's going to be wealthy city. And it's all going to be through Iraq, man. The money is going to flow. All right, now here's what it says. And then it says, lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. They're going to see smoke coming up, burning. And it says in verse 10, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment become. How can she be destroyed in 1 hour? How will you see smoke coming up so that you got to get away from it? Because if that smoke comes down and touches you, it will affect you. What does that remind you of? Denny? Nuclear, the mushroom cloud, the fallout. They're going to be in the Persian Gulf in their ships, like waiting to bring their goods there and get more money from them and get rich. And now it's all destroyed. They're like, ah, no. And they're going to cry and wail. And it talks about, look what it says in verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones. By the way, the banks of the world are controlling the gold and silver. They're hoarding silver right now. And if you try to buy physical silver now, it's very expensive compared to the spot price, which is supposed to be under $10 an ounce. But if you try to buy physical silver, and usually it's around 20 bucks an ounce to get it. Because they're controlling the silver. Because they know that that's where the true power of wealth is. And it says all these things that they're going to have are going to be destroyed. And look at verse 16. It says, saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For verse 17, in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning. What city's like to this great city? Now, would that bother you if we lost our American wealth and lost a lot of money and all that kind of stuff? Well, look what the Bible says happened in heaven when these guys are crying on earth. Look at verse 20. They're casting dust on their head, verse 19, weeping. Look what it says in verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Look at the difference. Why is there rejoicing in heaven when those people are crying on earth? Why is there rejoicing in heaven? Mary?
Well, because they're happy because of all the abominations that they did to God.
Yeah.
Now they're being judged for it.
Yeah. Human trafficking. You'll be able to get prostitutes at a drop of a hat in that city. Homosexual prostitutes, women prostitutes, everything. It's just wickedness. By the way, you see Hollywood, it's so wicked. You know, you see a movie, you want to go to a movie theater, bring your kids. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go to a movie theater. You're dumb. You're dumb. Don't go to a movie theater. I have a DVD, and usually I have the older ones if I'm going to watch something. I don't watch many movies at all. Usually they're older, and because you go to a movie theater, you know, you're going along fine. You're like, oh, this is great, and all of a sudden, boom. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And you say, well, I'll sit through that. Yeah. You need to be in control. This stuff is getting wickeder and wickeder and wickeder, and money talks, and everybody's going to walk, and people are going to just be getting into major wickedness, and God's going to be out of the whole equation here, and so God's going to judge it, and God's people are going to rejoice when it happens. And I'm saying to you, I'm sad for America, I feel bad for America, but I'm sick of the wickedness in this country, and I'm saying that we are very close to some major destruction happening in this country. And mark it down. That's why our theme for our church as we go into the watch night, we just talked about it yesterday, we're going to set our theme as redeeming the time in 09. Because we don't know how much time we have left. By the way, I advise you right now to pull out of wickedness, pull out of sin, and get invested in God's will and in His work. Lay up those heavenly treasures, because listen, nobody's going to be able to blow them up. Nobody's going to be able to destroy them. It's only one life, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so this is the symbol of the world and the wealth of the world. It's the city of Babylon, and the Bible says people are going to weep on earth, but they'll be rejoicing in heaven. Why? Because in just a few short hours, Jesus is going to take over the world. And He's going to rule and reign. And He's going to give the wealth of the world to His people. And we'll rule over the world. So you don't have to worry if the bank goes under. You don't have to worry if the government goes under. You don't have to worry, because the government is on the shoulder of Jesus. And as we look at the judgment of God coming down on America, then later upon Europe, and then later upon the UN and the city of Babylon, all this is judged, all this is destroyed. God said it's all going to happen. It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. Now, I'll end with this. There is a picture of this, the end of the world. There is a picture of this in a city years ago, and that city was called the city of Sodom. And there was a man living there with his wife, and his wife was told, do not look back. But when they left the city of Sodom, she looked back, and she was turned to a pillar of salt. He just escaped with two of his girls. That was it. See, his wife was taken out of Sodom, but Sodom couldn't be taken out of her heart, because her heart was in Sodom. And she was not really born again. She wasn't saved. Even though she was Lot's wife, he was a saved man, she never got saved. Listen, you could be in a Christian home, you could be in a Christian family, you could be in a church that's born again people. Are you really saved? If you're not saved, you're going to have your heart in the city of Sodom, this world. Make sure that your heart is in the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. All right, we'll stop there. Next week, chapter 19.